This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Thanks for being with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're here weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Repeated the show at 5 p.m. Eastern time on the weekends. Check out the best of Kelly and Company. And wherever you are around the world, we appreciate very much your time and you listening in on the show. Kelly McDonald with my co-host, Ramya Amuthan. And we've got a lot of great things as we move our way, Rum, through our Climate Action Week. It's been very tremendous. And I think what I'm always amazed when we take a week like this and do a call out to everyone, hey, you know, we're trying to feature this. It's so many different angles.
Yeah, Kels, it's really, really incredible because we have so much stuff to cover. And it always feels like, even though we've covered so much by the end of the week, that there's lots and lots of stuff to still be, you know, talked about and explored.
Well, and we, of course, are spending a lot of time, and will later today, too, on things that are affecting our country and throughout the week. But I think, as we like to do every 2 weeks, let's see what's going on over in the UK and maybe how this topic looks and what angle we might have there. Let's welcome in Fern Lullum.
What's on your mind? I'm Fern Lullum from the UK, and whether serious, silly, or somewhere in between, I've got you covered. Let's face it, the most effective therapy is a chat with your bestie.
Today we're talking about the UK angle on climate change and the impact climate change generally might have on disabled people. Fern, welcome.
Yes, indeed we are. Thank you very much, Kelly. So the UK will be hosting COP26, and this is a major conference running from the 31st of October to the 12th of November. And this conference aims to bring nations together to tackle the growing problems that climate change involves.
Okay. So give us some specifics on what COP26 aims to achieve.
Well, I guess the headline aim is to achieve net zero emissions by the middle of the century. So among the things that will be discussed is phasing out the use of coal, encouraging the use of renewable energy, and speeding up the switch to electronic vehicles.
Yeah, we see a lot of that. Ooh.
Exactly. There are big changes, of course, which experts are saying that we need to make. We've been covering a lot of them, and they need to be made quickly, Fern.
Yes, and the conference acknowledges that even if we do manage to reduce these emissions, extreme weather will continue in the short term. So we must prepare for all of that that's going to come by building defenses, warning systems, and resilient infrastructure to keep people safe.
All very necessary, but of course, Fern, these things cost money.
Yes, indeed they do. You're not wrong there, Kelly. Massive amounts of money will be needed both to build defences against extreme weather and to invest in the new ways of generating environmentally friendly energy. So another thing to be discussed at COP26 is how the private and public sectors across the world can work together to provide the necessary finances that they will inevitably need.
Mm-hmm. Well, the stakes are high. That's clear for this conference in the UK, Fern.
Yes, and it's never been more obvious that all nations must play their part and that as individuals, we need to accept that we may have to change the way we live to safeguard future generations.
Yeah, I think so. And like you say, things just aren't going to change like that. And there are people, Fern, when we're thinking that we really also should think about, because aside from COP, I think you've been doing a little looking at the impact of climate change on disabled people.
Yes. So, for example, there is evidence that Hurricane Katrina had a disproportionately effect on people who live with disabilities. And this type of weather, like I said earlier, will continue because of climate change. So we're likely to be more vulnerable to contracting infectious diseases because of underlying conditions, and a lack of mobility makes you far more prone to waterborne diseases. So we are more at risk as disabled people to these things. And so that's why we need even more safeguarding in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the lack of mobility generally is a problem in extreme weather conditions anyway, Fern.
Yeah, absolutely, Ramya. We need to put the, you know, make sure that rescue authorities work with disabled organizations to plan for how best to communicate with disabled people in a climate-related emergency, such as a hurricane, for example.
As you started to talk about this, it reminded me of another very recent segment of yours where you told us how disabled people have been very disproportionately affected by the pandemic.
Yes, and it seems that there is an emerging picture of how disabled people need to be given a higher profile in plans to cope with these dangerous situations and events that we don't always account for until they happen.
Yeah, and looking more specifically at your life in the UK, do you see evidence that disabled people are being properly accounted for in these plans for dealing with climate change, Fern?
Well, I think more could be done to assess the impact that climate change initiatives can have on disabled people. For example, there are lots of initiatives to encourage people to use cycles rather than cars.
Right.
And obviously, this is likely to reduce air pollution, you know, which is a good thing. We like that. But, it, you know, in introducing this, it has obviously yet another increase to vehicles that are difficult to hear for sighted, you know, visually impaired mm-hmm. people, and could therefore be a danger to blind people such as ourselves when there are lots of cycle lanes, especially when there are cycle lanes on sidewalks. So you're literally walking and there could be a bicycle coming, zooming past you at any moment.
We've been hearing this a lot over here in conversations about the scooters. So what should be done about this?
Well, to be clear, I'm not suggesting that we drop the idea of so-called clean transport like bicycles and things, far from it. But what I am saying is that when planners are working to introduce these initiatives, they should look at ways to make them safe for everyone and not just focus on one thing and forget about how it's going to impact a whole nother group of people.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been saying the same thing about e-scooters here. It's like, you know, hello, there's this whole bunch of population that are tripping over scooters just left on the sidewalks, right? So, yeah. How do you feel about electric cars? This is another good one.
Yeah, well, I think the same principles apply. I agree that we must have cars that don't damage the environment, but they do need to be introduced again in an inclusive way. It's all about how you go about these things, isn't it?
Now, I've heard all sorts of little ideas put forward as to how can we make noise on the vehicles. Do you have some ideas of what might be done?
Well, the key thing, I think, is for planners and policymakers to listen to everyone and not just the loudest voices. So not just mine, then, in other words. I thought I'd make the joke before you did. But on a more practical level, I think there are already ways of making electric vehicles more audible to blind people. Also, more thought, I think, needs to be given to the location of electric car charging points, because currently some are located in the middle of sidewalks. Again, very hazardous if you can't see very well, with wires that create a trip hazard as well. So especially for blind people, you know, this is a danger. And really, it should be something that's fairly easy to remedy if you put a bit of thought into it.
Yeah, and let's stay with the electric car situation for a bit. Are lots appearing on UK roads, Fern?
Well, cars that run on only electric are still fairly rare in the UK. However, there are a lot more hybrid cars now. Our government has said that it will end the sale of just petrol and diesel cars by 2030. So there will be no more new petrol or diesel cars in sale by then.
The interesting thing is putting dates on these things is very interesting because it's easier to set a date than to keep it.
Oh, yes. I mean, we've all been there with deadlines and things and we're pushing it back. And I think, you know, there is a worry across the world that there is lots of talk, but too little action. Hopefully this will change, but there are examples of deadlines slipping. For instance, in the UK, all homes were originally due to have smart meters by 2020 so that people were more aware of how much fuel they were using. But of course, this has now been pushed back to 2025. Just give it five extra years,
right? What other targets has the UK government set?
Well, possibly the most ambitious one is the one to cut emissions by 78% compared to 1990, and that is hopefully going to be done by 2035. I can see two reasons why that's important. First, it's a big step along the way to achieving net zero by 2050. But secondly, as hosts of COP26, it sends a message to other countries that the UK takes its responsibility very seriously.
Interesting. What I would love to know, Fern, is how would you sum things up on climate change?
Well, I think everyone agrees that it's a major challenge. And on one hand, I think it would involve changes that many people will find difficult. For example, changes in diet, you know, looking at me with my cakes over here, or in the type of work that they do.
Right.
But on the other hand, I think there are big opportunities too. Less reliant cars, less reliance on cars for getting around in favor of physical exercise should make us healthier. So we burn off the cakes and the biscuits. And the development of the green technologies may bring in new business and new job opportunities. So there's always pros and cons, aren't there?
It's hard because we have... Even if you're not a person in the situation of walking, we have the technology, have the ways to cut back so many things or to get people out of vehicles. So if you're going to use one of the offending type of vehicles, at least put 30 people in it instead of those 30 having their own individual ones.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. And I think the other big opportunity is for nations to see the value of working together. You know, this may be the biggest benefit of all, but of course, there are no guarantees that it'll happen. We just have to keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the countries that are talking about climate change or making these kind of progressive deadlines, mm-hmm. right, for making changes are talking about the same stuff, right? Like when you mentioned all these different things, I'm like, yep, that's the same here. It's the same here. It's the same in the US. It's the same all over the place. So since we're talking about all the same things, give or take, maybe we should collaborate better, collaborate in bigger picture form.
Absolutely. And you would hope that that would happen. And it, like you say, it seems that we all want the same thing. So it should be very easy. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, sometimes there's always differences of opinions on how you go about things and everything, isn't there? So, like I say, you just have to hope that people can cooperate enough to see the benefits and, you know, that it will just work out.
It's been
or at least utilize the conference that's going to happen to kind of get on board in that way.
Absolutely. And I suppose that's the point of the conference, to bring everyone together to say, look, come on, you know, let's do something about this.
Well, what we're learning this week is you can sit there and say, well, that country does that wrong. This country does that. We're doing this wrong. We're doing that right. And I think that's part of the learning that, hey, there are things you're doing right. Try to do them better. Try to do them more often. We used to see that a lot in Europe, where a lot of people in certain countries bicycled, and with that's great, you stay in shape, there's less vehicles on the road. But then you always learn about the thing, that's wonderful, but they burn more coal or something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Or they might crash into an innocent blind person
that's
walking
right
along the street. So there's always, isn't there, two sides to every story. You're right.
Yeah, well, and we talk about the scooters and stuff like that. And, certainly I don't want to be tripping over scooters, but I also have been hit by enough scooters and that kind of thing that have crossed on sidewalks too or whatever, and seen what kind of damage even a person with a guide dog just getting hit, you know, bumped by a scooter, or what kind of fears and issues that can cause. So there's a lot to think about when we say, well, hold on, isn't it supposed to be a sidewalk, not ride?
Yeah, absolutely. You think you're safe, but no, there's there's always threats of impending doom. Even if it's just, like I say, tripping over a cable, that's not nice. You know, all of these things hurt a lot.
And so much just takes a bit of thinking. Fern, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Our Climate Action Week, we're talking a lot about it this week on the program. And Fern Lullum from the UK, as she does every 2 weeks on the show, brings us something to think about, something to talk about. And you can check her out in a couple of weeks here on Kelly & Company for UK Disability Highlights. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, we are the hosts of the program. And riding along with us, always want to hear your thoughts on what we're doing, especially this week. So feel free to weigh in. The conversations continue. And this I find fascinating, so I'm excited about this. The Climate Museum is the first museum in the U.S. dedicated to climate change. What does this museum feature? Well, on the other side of the break, we'll get some details and find out what it's all about. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.